I'd like to have you turn to Psalm 101 in the scripture, Psalm 101. Pastor had a fine series on the home called The Home Front. This message is sort of an add-on to the home. Hopefully it will be helpful not just to those that are head of a home, but to each one of us. Some principles that will help us govern our homes and help us in every area of our lives. Psalm 101, I'll read in a moment or two, but we entitled it A Household Psalm. Some have referred to it that, because in a couple of verses you'll see that David said, for example, in verse 2, I will walk within my house. And then later on he talks about in verse 7, he who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. It's almost like David, as the king, wrote this song, this psalm, in the early part of his reign, perhaps when he started out in Hebron, or maybe later when he became king over all Israel. It was at the beginning of his kingdom, and he sort of committed himself. This is how I'm going to rule. These are some commitments that are going to guide me and govern me. And so he writes at the beginning of his reign concerning this psalm. Of course, you know that David himself was a musician. He wrote a number of songs. I don't know where it says in the Bible he actually sang, but I can't imagine he wrote songs and didn't sing them. We know that he was a musician. He played the harp, and God gave him a lot of ability, and now we're finding himself becoming the king. And so he writes this psalm sort of as a reflection of how he's going to live, how I'm going to govern from my house, from my palace. And, of course, his house might have included a lot more than just his immediate family, but the various people that worked in government for him. But he started with his house. And he has some determinations. You read Psalm 101, you'll quickly find where David is saying, I will. He mentions it 8 times. Sort of a determination. Verse 1, he says, I will sing of mercy and justice. Verse 2, he says, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Also in verse 2, he says, I will walk within my house. Verse 3, he said, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Verse 4, it says, I will not know wickedness. And go down to verse 8. He says, early will I destroy. There's 7 or 8 I wills that David determined that this is the way I'm going to live. I will. I determine. I'm committed to rule my house in such a godly manner. And it follows some godly principles that he wanted to follow. Someone said, what we are in the home reveals the real us. Sometimes we think, well, I can live the way I want. It's my house. It's my castle, and I can talk and act and dress and do what I want to do. David didn't feel that way. He said, I'm going to behave myself wisely in my home. And what we are in the home really reveals the real us. And so we have some principles of how to live holy in your home that will influence your home and really will influence our church. Godly homes, if there are godly homes that make up the community of our church, in essence, it will influence our church to have a godly church. We want to have godly homes and a godly church. And if you have a place of business or you have influence in other ways, the way you behave yourself godly will influence those places as well. What we want to do is look at this psalm and look at 8 different rules or commitments or standards that David listed to govern his house. And I like to have us look at those. Primarily, it deals with the psalm of David, how he's going to rule his kingdom, beginning from his house. Ultimately, this psalm will be fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes to reign and rule on this earth. But this morning, I'm going to look at this psalm and make it applicable and make some application to you and me as born-again believers in the home that we are in, how we ought to live and how we ought to behave ourselves in the home. And so I'm trying to look at that from that perspective and make some very practical application, and hope that if you want to follow along in the outline that's given there in the bulletin, we'll give you some words that will help us to understand some of the commitments that we ought to have in our home. Let me just read the whole psalm in one setting, and then we'll go back verse by verse and give a theme for each verse. But David said, I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I'll set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, David says, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me or shall minister to me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. And like I say, I want to look at this psalm in its application to us as families, and how we ought to govern our homes, or how God wants us to have godly homes. Verse number one, we ought to have godly music in our homes. I realize that you can listen to other than Christian music in a home, and that's not sinful, but I think it's important that in our homes, like in our church, but in our home, we have godly music. David said, it's going to be a balance in his music. He talks about mercy, which is steadfast love that we sang about earlier, and justice, the balance between being loving and being just, not overly harsh and not too mushy and allowing anything to happen, but a balance in our behavior as well as in our music, godly music in our home. Maybe you're like I am. Probably David was a musician and loved singing these songs to himself and ministering in his home, having godly music. You might not be capable of singing that well, but we ought to praise God for the CDs and other means of having Christian music in our home, music that will challenge our hearts, music that will be an expression of our love for the Lord, because he says, I'm going to sing this music unto you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will make music. So David, as a musician, wanted his home to be full of godly music, music of mercy and justice, of God's grace. And I think it's a good reminder that as we have homes, to make sure there's a great amount of godly music in the home, as we sing, as we play music, as we talk to the Lord and express to him our love for him. Godly music in the home is commitment number one, or principle number one. Verse number two, he said, I'm going to have godly morals in my home. I'm going to behave wisely in a perfect way. I'm in my home. See, because I am what I am will reveal the real me in the home. Usually at church or we go to work, the boss wants us to behave properly and we conduct ourselves. But sometimes in the home we say, well, I'm going to speak the way I want to speak and I'll live the way I want to live and all of that. But David said, no, in the home, that's sort of like a laboratory. I am going to discipline myself and behave myself. I'm going to have morals and godliness in my home. And he talks about godly morals in his home. this phrase that we read there, oh, when will you come to me? It reminds me of course, years ago, maybe some of you still have it in the home, a little plaque that says, Christ is the unseen guest in my home. You know, when you think about how you live in the home, when you think about Jesus is here, he's my guest. And knowing that he's there in your home will help us to have godly behavior, godly morals, and do that which is right. And David said, I want to walk within my house with a perfect heart. I want to be godly in my home. I want to treat my wife and my kids godly. I want to behave properly. I want to have good morals. As I said, there's a poem that I'm going to read. It's been around a long time. It's somewhat lengthy, but it reminds us that in the home, if Jesus came to your house, I like to read this, and may it be a challenge to you. If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came unexpectedly, I wonder what you do. Oh, I know you give him your nicest room to search an honored guest, and all the food you serve to him would be the very best. And you would keep assuring him that you'd be glad to have him there, that serving him in your home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in, or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they've been? Would you turn off the TV or internet and hope he hadn't heard and wish you hadn't uttered that last loud, hasty word? Would you hide your worldly music and put those hymn books out? Could you let Jesus walk right in, or would you rush about? And I wonder, if the Savior spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do, or would you go right on saying the things you always say, or would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would your family conversation keep up its usual pace? And would you find it hard to say each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read? And let him know that things on which your mind and spirit feed, would you take Jesus with you everywhere you plan to go? Or would you, maybe, change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet your closest friends? Or would you hope they stay away until his visit ends? Would you be glad to have him stay forever, on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when he was at last was gone? It might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus came in person to spend some time with you. I think it's a good poem to remind us that in the home, godly morals, godly living, because Jesus is there as a Christian home. So godly music in the home, verse 1. Godly morals in the home, verse 2. Then verses 3 and 4, what I call a godly moratorium. When we were in a church situation and they were going to build a new church in one of our ministries, it was in the 70s, and they decided to put up a whole new church building and etc. And there was a moratorium on gas and fuel. We could not put an oil furnace or heat by gas. It had to be by electricity because at that time there was a moratorium on using oil and gas. So we built this pretty sizable large structure totally heated by electric. Well, the word moratorium means a suspension of activity. For a while, they didn't want new buildings to have oil and natural gas because there was a shortage on it. Well, David talks about there are going to be some things in our home that we are going to put a moratorium on. And he says there in verse 3, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Now you think about David. You know a little bit about David. Later on in life, did he set some wicked thing before his eyes? Yeah, the sin of Bathsheba and led to lying and murder. And David didn't live up to all of these determinations. That doesn't mean we shouldn't try to live up. But we need to be careful in our homes. There is the possibility through television and internet and magazines and books and other things that we would allow our minds and our eyes to see things that they really we should say no at the moratorium, because the word definition means a suspension of activity. He says, I hate sin. This was one of his will. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hope we would feel the same way in our home. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. I thought of that word cling back on the farm growing up. There was what we call what is known as the burdocks. If you've been around burdock, that plant that has this burr, and it sticks to your clothes. It's hard to get out. It's like fish hooked. It just clings. The cats and the dogs will get it in the fur. You could spend hours trying to get the burdocks out of the dog. It clinged to them. Well, David said, I'm not going to let this stuff cling to me. I'm going to hate it. I'm not going to put it before my eyes. I'm not going to get around it. And as we think about our home, instead of being careless and watching TV and programs that will eventually get us addicted, because cling and addicted sound pretty similar. Sometimes things will cling to us and we become addicted to us and we just got to have it. David says, I'm not going to allow that to happen in my life. Even though he did falter, he was a man after God's heart. He did confess it. He did get back on track. He did suffer some of the consequences of that. But I think we'd be wise to learn from David and determine that there's going to be a godly moratorium in our home. There's some things we aren't going to do in our home. I know some of you in our church made the decision we aren't going to have a TV. Others say we have a TV, but we are going to control it. We are not going to watch certain channels or certain we're not going to allow that wickedness come into our life. Same way with the internet and all the other possibility. Be determined, I am not going to set those before my eyes. I call it a godly moratorium. Jump down to verse 5, where it says, whoso secretly slandered his neighbor, him will I destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. I put down the word for this verse that David's going to have godly manners. It's good to have good manners, good etiquette. I grew up in a home where I didn't know you couldn't put your elbows on the table. And we never had a napkin on the table. What are napkins? They must be for rich people. And I never would say, don't talk with food in your mouth. I mean, we weren't that bad, but I never taught any good manners in the home. But we need to teach good etiquette. That's how you teach your children to learn to say thank you and please and have good manners and good attitudes in the home. But I think of manners more than just etiquette. I think of it as attitude. David said, I'm not going to let pride in my home. You know, sometimes God gives our children a great ability, maybe as far as musician, maybe an athlete or some other skills. And if you don't work at it, they can become very proud and arrogant. And I can become very proud and arrogant because of who I am and what I think I am, you know. David said, look at, we're going to have good manners. We're not going to let pride and arrogant and that kind of an attitude dominate our home. We're going to deal with it. I'm going to destroy it. What he really means when he says, I would destroy it, he said, I'm going to put to silence that. I'm not going to allow that to happen in my home. We're going to have good manners. We aren't going to be proud. And for a king to say that, in this time, a king was usually arrogant and got his own way and did his own thing and demanded this and that. I mean, his whole attitude was pride. Well, David said, that's not going to be the way I'm going to rule my kingdom. I'm going to be a godly king. I'm going to be humble about it. I'm going to deal with arrogance in my home and those who work with me and my family. And we're going to have what I call good manners. And that goes along with homes that where there's grumbling and bickering and mood change. Deal with godly manners. Learn to be a godly person. Right attitudes in your home, in my home. David said, good manners, godly manners in our home. Verse 6, he says, my eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He's going to, The word that I use here in verse 6, I see godly management in the home. You know, it's so easy, whether you're the father of the home or maybe you're a single mother, after a while, it just, everybody just do what you want to do. I work so many hours at my job, and I'm managing there, and I'm dealing with problems. When I get home, I just don't want to deal with any of that problem at all, you know? And we just sort of let things happen in our home. Well, David said, that's not going to be the way it's in my home. I'm going to manage my home. If you're a father, I'm going to give leadership. I'm going to manage it. I'm going to deal with issues. I'm going to select people that are good people, that are going to work. I'm going to hire godly people that work in my home and in my kingdom. And I'm going to manage it. I'm not just going to let it get away. And as we think about our homes, I need to manage my own attitude, that I'm a godly example to my wife, to my children, and to the ministry that I'm involved with, to the kingdom, so to speak, that I oversee. And you need to do the same thing. Don't give up. It's your home. You manage it lovingly, balance with mercy and justice, but manage your home. Maintain integrity in your home. Verse number 6, he says, I'm going to watch out and hire those who've been faithful to God and will be faithful to me. I'm going to select the right people. I'm going to manage my home. And that was his goal. That was his ambition. Then come down to verse 7. It says, he who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. And he who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Something like verse 6, but I put down godly members in our home. David said, I'm going to hire people that are members of my home, that work for me. They're going to be people that are full of negative. Because when you think about it, members, when we had children in our home, there was a couple of things that helped us and bringing them up. Number one, we were very, very cautious of the kind of friends that our kids could bring home with them and stay overnight or stay for any length of time, go up in the bedroom, that type of thing. Because we were reminded of that verse over in 1 Corinthians, that evil company corrupts good morals or good habits. And I didn't want to have my home a place where unsaved young people could influence my children in the wrong direction. So we were sort of picky. Now, I know we need to be a witness and we need to reach out to the unsaved, but at the same time, make sure that these young people that aren't morally right or are born-again believers, that they don't do more damage than we try to influence them for Christ. And the other thing is, we try to bring godly members in our home, like missionaries and pastors, Bible teachers, deacons, people in the church, have them for dinner. What a positive influence godly members have had upon my children. If my boys were here, they could share some of the experience of this missionary that spent a day in our home or spent a week in our home, and how they talked to them and how they encouraged them. They were a good influence. David said, I'm going to have godly members come into my home, into my kingdom, into my reign of power, and I'm going to hire the right kind of people. And as we bring up our children and our family and the influence, be careful. I could share some sad experience of well-intentioned people that love the Lord, that brought some people and allowed them to come in their home and didn't keep an eye on them, that ended up doing some terrible things and ruined their family. So I'm just reminding ourselves, hopefully you understand the spirit in which I'm saying, just be careful about the members that you bring into your home. Make sure they're godly people, and that will have a positive influence and not a negative influence on your family and even on yourself. Then we come to verse 8. He says, early. And the question is, early when? Early in life? Early in the morning? And if you were to look at some other translations of this passage. Most of them are translated the Hebrew early in the morning or every morning, morning after morning. David says, I will destroy all the wicked of the land. He said, boy, that's pretty tough. Remember, he's a king. We talk about our president wanting to secure the border and we want to keep the evil people out that's going to do us damage. Well, David was the same way. He wanted to deal with anybody in his kingdom as it grew that was out to dethrone him or rebel or to kill him. And so it was tradition. We found this on our trip to Israel. In fact, they took us to a place where archaeology discovered that in the gates of the city, there was like a little courtroom set up where the king would sit. And every morning, cases would be brought to the king. And every morning, he would deal with rebellion or whatever situation and pass judgment on it. Every morning, he did that. And he said that every morning. He said, I'm going to destroy all the wicked of the land that I may cut off the evildoers from the city of the Lord. The application is this. We don't have the power to sit and rule in kingdom. But as a person in your home, every morning you ought to start talking to the Lord and dealing with any sin in your life, any wrongdoing you did yesterday. Pray for guidance for this day. Every morning have devotions. He said, well, time I get up and I got to get to work. It would pay you to go to bed a little bit earlier and get up 15 minutes earlier. And every morning in your heart, deal with sin in your life. Deal with your attitude. Pray that God would give you the good spirit. Pray that God would forgive the mess you made yesterday. Pray that God would guide and direct you. Every morning do that. Shirley and I have what we call a three-level devotion. I share this. Then I think, well, if I share, people think I'm bragging. I'm just telling what have worked for us and helped us. Once we get up and shower, Shirley and I spend some quality time praying together, reading the Bible, praying together, and talking to the Lord, helping me to have a good attitude. Lord, if it's your will that we should live, let us do this and that. Just starting every morning out in that way. And then at breakfast time, we use the daily bread. Again, we have devotions. We pray and we listen to the Word of God. And then later on, Shirley goes off to herself for her daily devotions or private devotions, and I have a brief time of prayer and devotion. That has worked for us in the morning. Every morning, well, not every morning, but we try every morning to start the day dealing with issues in our life, in our home, and giving like a new beginning. And David was like that, godly mornings in the home, and there ought to be godly mornings in your home as you spend time dealing and putting to silence and putting out any evil and wrong thoughts that you have, because we all have them. And every morning you need to start talking with the Lord. So I challenge you to have godly mornings in your home. Now I ran out of verses, but I got one more note, and it's this: it's godly manual, the Bible, the manual. Not just Psalm 101, but in our home, the Bible, the Word of God, reading it and studying it. And there's a lot, as Pastor brought out in all of his messages, a lot of specific, detailed passages on the home that we need to study and read and regulate our home. And then the whole context of the Bible, principles and scriptures that will guide us as a person and bringing up our family and dealing in our business and at our work or at a school. Make sure the manual, godly book, the godly Word of God is used in your home. Now I conclude with this, and we're going to conclude with a song. As I mentioned, David tried, he wrote it. I believe his heart was good. He had a heart after God. He tried to govern his home like that, but failed. But he did ask God to forgive him, and God put him back on track. I just want all of us to know that you and I and all in this auditorium, no matter how hard we try to live godly in our home, we too will fail. But let's at least try. Every morning, try again to live godly according to these verses of Scripture. Shirley and I have determined for 55 years of marriage to have a godly home. And we have done our share of failing, but Shirley and I are still determined to keep trying. Will you join us in trying to have a godly home? Let's pray.